The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's been a year of very significant progress for Hirina Rare Earths. The company has been moving forward with its Ampasindava project in Madagascar. So much has been accomplished in 2025. So much more will be accomplished in 2026. Here to tell us what's happened, what's going to happen, and how it all is shaping up, it's Ivan Murphy. Ivan, hello to you.
Morning, Alistair. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So 2025, a lot happened for Hirina. It sort of began with the reversal and went on from there. Tell us your sort of thoughts about what's been achieved so far.
Yeah, I mean, a pivotal year for the project, really. You know, we've listed ourselves in the London Stock Exchange on the main list. We have jointly listed our shares or the ability to trade our shares on the OTC in New York. We've raised some money. We've got some institutional shareholders. We've had a real root and branch overhaul, I think, corporately as well. And so, yeah, I mean, we've done an awful lot in these very short months. March was the reverse, and then the fundraising on the back of that was in August. So it's really only been a couple of months. So great to be moving out of the shadows and to be pushing the project much further along. You know, it's a unique confluence of situations with the current US administration, the new administration in Madagascar, which is really good news. So it's a really, you know, a lot of things have aligned for the project this year, which is making it really exciting for 2026.
So tell us about that then. Where is the project at? What stage are we at now?
Yeah, well, as you know, we have a massive resource, proven independent resource from SGS of over 600,000 tons of total rare earth oxides. So that's making us one of the biggest proven resources, you know, outside of China in ionized clay specifically. So, you know, we have a kind of a world-class resource proven. So everybody accepts that, and that's great. What we've been able to do this year, even these last short months, is move forward with the licensing to have our exploitation license with the ministry, which we're now in an interactive process for. That involved the submitting of our pre-feasibility study, which we are now doing. And that's quite an interactive process with the new ministry. So we're really pleased about that. So that's kind of coming to a head for the end of the year. And then we'll be over to them then to issue us the license. So that's very exciting. And that's the last sort of licensing phase for companies of our type. And that's really the moves us into the production basket, let's say. At the moment, we have a transformation license. We had an exploration license before that, and our permis d'exploitation, as they call it in French, or our exploitation permit, that will be the one that we'll use to move the project into production. So it's a massive turning point for a company like ours. It also opens us up to a whole new set of investors and institutional interest, analysts, etc., when we'll be able to publish some of that PFS to share that with analysts to help them build a better understanding of our project and just how we're going to get it into production from here.
So you mentioned the PFS. Are you going to do further studies on the project?
Oh, yeah, of course. So next year will be about, you know, a proof of concept, a pilot plant, a lab, you know, a defined feasibility study or a DFS. But, you know, you'll run all those things in parallel as you move towards production. So you're not really doing them one thing at a time. We'll do a lot of those, you know, in parallel work streams over the first quarter or so of next year, first two quarters. So it'll be a really busy time now, finally on the ground with the project. You know, more sampling work, we'll produce more concentrate samples, we'll do more test work, and we'll be looking to do those with some labs in South Africa and possibly in Europe as well. So there'll be lots more to share early in the new year.
Now, you mentioned your government liaisons just a moment ago. You've been having some pretty high level talks with government officials, both in the US and in Madagascar. Perhaps you could just elaborate on that a little bit more.
Yeah, so we have a new administration in Madagascar, an interim government now, which is looking to hold elections within the next 2 years. That's been a real turning point for the project as this new administration is really focused on the economics and, you know, getting investment on the ground and getting it to where it matters. By that, I mean to the people of Madagascar, get them the employment that they so desperately want and need. So that really has changed the atmosphere for companies like ours in Madagascar. And I was fortunate to spend a week there a couple of weeks ago meeting the new ministry and representatives of the president, etc. So, you know, we've got a really good relationship now that's so proactive and really looking to help projects like ours get into production for all the value that we can bring as partners to the country and to the people of Madagascar. So that's really a defining change in the political situation locally, and we're very fortunate. It's not the case across Africa. Those kind of environments are very challenging at times. So really pleased about that. Big tick for us, and we're very grateful to be part of that process with the ministry. In the US, who are on a massive critical mineral, global critical mineral drive to, you know, to cut off their dependence in China, which is totally understandable and a strategy we very much support. We think in Europe and in the UK we could be doing that quicker, as quickly as they are in the US. So what they're doing is they're building more capacity to refine rare earths and critical minerals within the US, and then looking abroad for feedstock to those projects. And that's a kind of a high level summary of some of the strategy they're doing, and we want to be part of that. And so to that end, of been in DC a lot over these last couple of months, as you know. I think I've been there 3 times in the last 90 days, and that's been great just to push forward with our relationship, specifically with the Development Finance Corporation. They've been very proactive in supporting projects like ours, Macongo, Alcara down in Brazil, and other rare earth projects. So they're really, you know, really at the forefront of that kind of investment thesis and strategy. So we're in a process with them now, which we've already said openly, and we're, you know, we're really pleased about that, and hopefully that'll start to move along a bit more in the new year. So that'll be another cause for us to move the project forward, and another impetus for us to get going.
I mean, perhaps worth mentioning just in brief that the project lies on the coast there at the north of Madagascar, doesn't it? So essentially, perhaps I'm simplifying a little bit, Ivan, but essentially you can put the product on a boat and then it can arrive in the USA. There's not much more to
Yeah.
it
I
than
mean,
that.
you know, that's true. Logistically, we have a lot of advantages. You know, we have two massive Mother Nature advantages in our project. First of all, we have ionized clays. We didn't do that ourselves, obviously. That's the way it was. So that's a massive plus, and that's why one of the key reasons China dominates the rare earth space. And the second thing is where we're located. So our geographical location at the very north of the island, and very close to some really useful ports, two which are fully functioning and could easily take the sort of shipments we want to take. So that's true. You know, we have to build some roadwork down to those ports, but none of those other challenges that are so often the case in other jurisdictions, or even in other parts of Madagascar, not just in other parts of Africa. So yes, we're very fortunate with our logistics. But you know, just to kind of recap on that, you know, all we're doing is looking to produce a concentrate that will be shipped for refining. So, you know, we're just going to create a concentrate, a rare earth concentrate that can then be shipped for refining wherever that needs to be. That is not going to be part of our job. Our job is to get it to those people who want the concentrate for refining. And at the moment, our strategy is bent towards the US, which we've been really open about.
So we talked about the US government's drive towards doing more refining just a second ago, and that obviously is taking place against the backdrop of very strong rare earth prices and the attempt to break the Chinese stranglehold that it appears to have on rare earth. So how do you see that market? How's it been, first of all, in 2025, and how do you see it sort of unfolding in 2026 in terms of HARENA and your place inside that context?
Yeah, look, we're not going to be the all-ending solution to the problem. We're not big enough for that. But we can certainly be a useful party in helping alleviate some of that dependency on China that the whole of the Western world has, not just America. So look, I think we can definitely play a part in that of real value and of use. So I think that's what's, you know, attracted a lot of people to the project and a lot of government interest. I think the macro story around critical minerals, the broader critical mineral space, including rare earths, is just probably the biggest mineral super cycle we're going to see in a long time, and it is only just beginning. There's no price sensitivity for governments around what they pay for rare earths, because without them, they can't build military and you can't build technological advancement. So it's not a question of price, it's just a question of getting them. And the US have, you know, made that marker with MP Materials, where they've given them a floor price for what they're going to buy off them. The Department of Defense has made a massive investment into MP Materials. You know, they gave them $600 million and more and more. And so we're seeing another one. There was another one last week. I can't remember the detail of it now. So, you know, they're not price sensitive to the product because they have to have it. You know, the US is, you know, going to send these F-35 fighter jets to Saudi Arabia that they're building for them, and that's great. You can't build those without a steady, you know, proper supply and control over your supply of critical mineral rare earths. You know, it's not that you can't get them from China, but there's no security of supply, and they can change their mind and they can turn it on and off, obviously, as they so choose. So, you know, this is a This is the real play in minerals, in my opinion, and certainly that's shared with many other people for probably the next 5 to 8 years.
Yeah, which provides a real context of opportunity for Arena as you move into production. So let's just wrap it up perhaps with a quick summary of what's going to happen in 2026 then, Ivan. You guys moved very fast in 2025, did a lot of different things and moved the project along. Is the pace going to be as rapid in 2026?
I think so, with probably more of a focus on the project and, less on the corporate, let's say. So that'll be exciting. And so licensing coming through shortly from the government, a further spend on site for a proof of concept, for a lab, for more concentrate. Want to develop our concentrate, just get a better handle on our processing, and then, financing to move into production and to be getting into production, hopefully in the next sort of 24 months. So I think we'll be much busier in different ways. And making different advancements, we'll obviously have to do more financing arrangements with either a partner or in the market with our existing shareholders, etc. So I think there'll be lots. I think we'll be just as busy, certainly in the next couple of quarters.
Well, we look forward to watching you guys make even more progress. Ivan Murphy, for now, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Alistair. Good to see you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.